now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. My message may seem to you very strange as I entitle it, Man, Watch Out for God's Angels and His Worms. The living and true God has his servants everywhere in his universe, from the powerful angels of heaven to the eating worms of earth. At his decree, they are sent on their errands of mercy to some and of judgment to others. Just a word with you, my listeners, as I take up my pen to write at the dictation of one whose words will remain to the end of all human history. My message is not the thrilling imagination of an actor or a novelist. Life is too serious and time is too short to trifle with such. My words are authentic facts concerning the most important events in a man's life, a man who lived in the first century named Herod the King. In his day, there was a doctor who gathered these facts together, writing them in a book. That book was reverenced in his day, and after 19 centuries, it is read by millions the world around, for it has been translated into more languages than all other writings. And this is not just some history I'm rehearsing to you. This record so applies itself to us today, we will feel its conscience-stirring pricks. So I proceed. Herod the King came of a family of kings. His grandfather was Herod the Great, and his father another Herod with a kingly throne. At an early age, our third Herod was made by the world power at Rome, the ruler over two great tetrarchs. At his word, people were favored or killed. In his day, there had lived a man named Jesus of Nazareth, a man who went about doing good, healing people, giving sight to the blind, and even raising the dead. He told us about heaven, from whence he had come and whither he went. For he had been crucified and died, but God had raised him from the dead. And for 40 days he talked and ate with his followers on earth. And then, as they watched, he ascended into heaven. These facts were undeniable, for the witnesses were in the hundreds. They boldly preached this Jesus as the living Lord and Savior. So Herod thought he would become a ruler of renown by killing those preachers. Finding James, a notable Christian, he cut off his head with a sword. He saw that this made him popular with the Jews, so he proceeded further. Had Peter taken from his street preaching and put in jail. To give his program more effect, he paused till after the Jews' Passover feast, and then he would kill Peter too, so he thought. I think I see one of Herod's centurions go to him and say, Most noble king, have you heard that those Christians have a living God who can open prison doors and free his servants? Only a short time ago this actually happened. Moreover, one of those who got out of the jail was this very Peter, whom you now have in jail. I seem to hear Herod reply, I don't believe that tale. Those two men were just in the religious lockup of the Jews, and it was easy for them to break out. But I have Peter in our military jail, and 16 of my soldiers guard him by day and by night, and our Roman chains hold him fast. I will prove that there is no living God who can deliver one out of my hands. Herod the king was a determined unbeliever in the living God, and he was a defiant scoffer, daring even to challenge the God of heaven and earth. That proud Herod died, but today we have a generation of Herods. Who are they? We shall see. Then it happened. What happened? The God of heaven sent an angel on an errand of mercy. At his presence, the chains dropped off Peter, and the prison doors, and also the big city gate, opened before them and closed after them. In all this, those 16 guardsmen saw and knew nothing. At morning light, they searched for Peter, but found only the chains, the jail, and the soldiers, but no Peter, and no one knew aught of what had happened. That morning Herod ordered Peter to be brought out to get his head cut off by Herod's sword. But there was no Peter to be found. Centurions investigated and reported that there was perfect military performance, and only one thing could have happened. The God of those Christians had delivered his servant Peter the second time. Now Herod was on the spot. He must acknowledge there is a living God able to do miracles, or else he must falsely accuse those soldiers of being asleep on duty and kill them all. unwilling to humble himself as defeated, and yet enraged by his predicament, he orders, "Give those soldiers a mock trial and kill the last one of them." Oh, when will proud men ever learn that no one can fight the living God and win the fight? I repeat it, no one can fight the living God and win the fight, and no one can run away from God and win that race. Hear that? No one can run away from God and win that race. God at you. God will conquer you. God will not bow at your feet. But like proud Herod, you shall lick the dust in defeat and be ground to powder. For whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. God wanted to break down Herod in repentance, but he stiffened his resistance of the living God, and what happened? Failing to gain popularity with the Jews, he turns to a troubled spot of his kingdom, Tyre and Sidon. They put on a big reception, built a big throne, had royal robes for him, and one by one their archers spoke flattering words of the great Herod the king. Then he made a speech. As he finished, the whole multitude cried out, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." To this Herod smiled with great approval as his proud heart rose to its zenith. And that did it with God. For Herod, with the blood of James the Apostle on his hands, and the blood of those 16 innocent soldiers, and with his murderous heart wanting to kill Peter, and still unwilling to give God the glory for delivering Peter from the jail, Herod crowns it all by dedicating to himself the very glory of God's person. As Herod bows in approval of their worship, like a flash of lightning, a mighty angel with a great sword thrusts open Herod's proud heart, while the shouting people gasp in terror. As Herod falls from his throne, they rush to see. But what is this they behold? Worms, like a battalion of soldiers, attack that body. They bypass the robes, but eat their way into his vital organs. They devour his eyes from their sockets and gnaw the flesh from his bones. They are so serpent-like, they defy mortal man to break up their dinner party. People rush to see for themselves, but quickly turn away in trembling fear. So, neighbor, am I not right in saying that the living God has servants everywhere? He still has his angels that can direct their swords in precision, and God still has worms to reduce proud men to skeletons. So I ring again in your ears my warning. Man, watch out for God's angels and his worms. This authentic record is preserved for us to teach us its great lessons. I cannot generalize these lessons, but one by one, I will invite my neighbors to come in for their lesson. Class number one, Mohammedans are called in to see and hear. If you Muslims object and say, "We're not like Herod, we worship the one God, and Mohammed is prophet," who is your God? He is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he is the God of Mohammed. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men. But you denounce Jesus Christ and set up your Mohammed. Where is your Mohammed today? Death grabbed him and still holds him its victim while centuries roll on. And where is the God of Mohammed? Did he show himself as the true and living God and raise Mohammed from the dead? You Muslims know, and so does all the world. Your God is just like the Baal God that Israel worshipped in Elijah's day. He's a dead God, and Mohammed is a dead man. In the Bible, 450 prophets of their god Baal became so desperate they cut themselves as they cried, "Oh, Baal, hear us!" You Mohammedans ought to gather around your dead Mohammed and cry to the God of Mohammed to show that he is the true God and raise Mohammed from the dead in witness to him as his prophet. A world of money couldn't pay you to do this, for well you know how it would expose your God and his prophet too. Your God is as dead as was Baal, just as dead as is a heathen idol god. And your Mohammed is as unworthy of your faith as is any of the false prophets, for he, with all the others, is only a dead man, unable to deliver himself out of death and unable to save you. Elijah's God was the living God, as Elijah so proved him to be. And Israel cried out, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Elisha further proved him as he faced Jordan and cried, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the living God divided the waters of that river. But the greatest test came when Jesus Christ had died. At that sepulchre we cry the challenge, "Where is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ?" And he, the living God, answered, and Jesus Christ rose out of death. Death could not claim one drop of his blood, one bone of his body, nor cell of his flesh. In that very body he manifested himself on earth and then ascended into heaven to be enthroned by his Father as Lord of all. Ye Moslems, I beseech you to turn from your worm-eaten Herod, though his name be Mohammed, and bow at the feet of that risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and confess him as my Lord and my God, and he will be your Savior too. And now we invite class number 2. You skeptics, infidels, and atheists, draw near. Behold those ravenous worms as they gnaw the last flesh off those bones, and see your champion. Yes, you would have counted Herod as your man. How like you he really was. Rather than acknowledge the immeasurable power of the living God, he would have 16 innocent men killed. You who are Herod's buddies, let me test you a bit. So I open the Bible to the New Testament, and we read of how Jesus Christ manifested the power of God, healing the sick, even those with leprosy, and how he raised the dead, and how he revealed to us the unseen, telling us of heaven and of hellfire too. You do find in him a difficult case, for never was there a man like Jesus. So you concede that he was a good man, but he was not God. Like Herod, you have trapped yourself. You must acknowledge that he was a good man, but if that be so, then he must be what he said he was, or else he would have been a blasphemer, a liar, and a deceiver. So I read on of men crucifying him, and he died and was buried. You are relieved. But as I read of out of death, the very same Jesus in his very body, and saying, "I am he who liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore," this makes your unbelief bristle up and you cry, "We don't believe it." Now be reasonable and remember, first, no event was ever so backed up by witnesses who boldly told of talking and eating with him and even seeing him rise and go bodily into heaven, the very same Jesus. They preached it even when it meant jail and death for them. And second, no event of history has been so fought as the resurrection of the man Christ Jesus. Yet of nothing can we be more sure of than the great gospel message. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried and arose the third day according to the Scriptures. I entreat you to resign your stubborn unbelief. It has only left you with a blank emptiness that is painful. And confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved, as the Bible promises. But if you will not, then something worse than an angel's sword and hungry worms will get you. What will it be? Hearken. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And now I invite in group number 3 to come to class. You are maddened to be classified as idol worshippers, for you respect a living God. Let me test you a bit. What is an idol worshipper? He makes his own God. If he likes silver, he makes his worship God of silver. If wood, then wood. He makes it as he likes. It may look awkward to others, but Finally, he fashions it just according to his taste. It is his idea of God, the God he worships. Now listen carefully as I rehearse some pages in your life's history. You listened as the preacher showed from the Bible that all sin is against God, and forgiveness of sin and peace with God can only be ours by the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. But to you, the preaching of the cross was all foolishness, and so you set up your idol God, the kind you'd like, a God who is so loving and kind he forgives us and loves us right on regardless. Then you heard on your radio a preacher as he warned people of how God had said the wicked shall be turned into hell, where they cry, I'm tormented in this flame, and that really made you mad. Filled with hatred, you said, I wouldn't worship a God that would do that. So you made your own God. Your God winked at sin and just wanted you to have a good time and enjoy yourself. Your idol God is no more like the living and true God of the Bible Revelation than is the heathen's image. And from your class comes this question. When Herod was called God, what could he have done about it? We read of Herod in Acts chapter 12 and of Paul in Acts chapter 14. When they called Paul and Barnabas gods and proceeded to worship them, they tore off their clothes and ran among the people, showing they were not God, but only men, and they begged them to turn to the living God. That's what Paul did, but not Herod. So we must each one be as Paul or Herod. Smash your self-made God as only another dead idol and turn to Jesus Christ, for he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Herod's judgment came from God because he gave not God the glory. That brings my call to class number 4. Come in. You who claim to be Christians, while you are so very proud of yourselves, and you are so thrilled when people flatter you, but you never beat your breast as a wicked, hell-deserving sinner. You never cried to God for his mercy on you, the sinner. You have heard that people are only saved by God's grace and not by any works of their own righteousness. Thus, no one can glory in himself, but all the glory must go to God. This really got you mad, for you paraded your good works, your donations, and all your church work. By these you felt yourself worthy of heaven. So you said, that God is not my God. My God has respect for the good person I am and the nice life I live. Just like Herod, you will not give God the glory. Poor, deceived neighbor of mine, hear me good. You will never be saved while worshiping your two idols. The one is yourself, and the other is the God of your liking and taste, while you turn away from the living and true God as revealed in the Bible. Right now, confess yourself a helpless, lost sinner, thus smashing your one idol, and burn that other idol by taking God's revelation of himself in the Bible. You were created, as the Bible says, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All were created by him and for him. As his creature, our first duty is to glorify God our Maker, and then to give him alone the glory as our only Lord and Savior. This we do by first turning from all false prophets about us, and second, from the deceitfulness of our own proud hearts within us, and third, from our conceited big head on the top of our shoulders, to bow at the feet of Jesus Christ, to entrust ourselves to him as our Savior, and surrender to him in humble submission as our Lord, and to give him all the glory for our salvation. We proclaim him worthy of all glory and honor as we say, let Jesus wear the crown, for he is worthy. Finally, remember, the Bible opens with angels having flaming swords turning in every direction. No wonder I cry, man, watch out for God's angels and his worms. God still has his legion of angels ready to smite at God's bidding those who, like Herod, give not God the glory. Let the fear of the living God be on us all. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant, David Brinkman.